Today we're going to be wrapping up this series on seeking God with a brief look at the words of Jesus in the 6th chapter of Matthew. I would encourage you to open your Bibles there, if you will, or your devices. We're going to be looking at quite a bit of scripture today. We're going to look at a section here first in Matthew and then some other passages as well. And it would be great for you to follow along or take notes, and you can go back and maybe read them later. If you don't have the ability right now to read along with us, then at least listen, please, very carefully. This is from the New International Version, the 1984 rendition of that. This is Jesus speaking, beginning in verse 24 of Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you know that's true? In this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is emphasizing what should be our priority in life. We've been talking about seeking what we should be seeking first and foremost. He says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's pretty straightforward, don't you think? Why should we do that, though? Why should we do this, Jesus? For one thing, it seems to be the antidote for worry. Isn't that the context? It's the antidote for worry. As I look around these days, I see a lot of worry. How about you? People are worried about contracting COVID-19 and the state of the union. A lot of folks are extremely anxious about the economy. Now, not everyone is in the position of not knowing where their next meal is going to come from, or whether they'll have clothes on their back tomorrow, or even if they'll live to see tomorrow. But those are some very real concerns for far more people than we might think. There really are. I'm a person who's deeply concerned about the decaying morals in our culture, as well as all the bitterness and the hatred and that's running rampant across the globe. I find it discouraging, for sure, to think about the world our children and grandchildren might be inheriting. I confess that sometimes I grow weary with worry. How about you? Jesus is addressing that. What shall we do about it? According to him, we need to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's the answer. That's the response to worry. But what does that even mean, to seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness? Well, let's start by narrowing things down a bit by considering what it doesn't mean. You ready? Jesus was not telling his listeners to seek some geographic location. I think most of you know that. The kingdom of God he referred to couldn't be found on a map in their time or ours. It wasn't a physical place with temporal boundaries. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. In John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus, after being arrested and he was on trial before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." He says it twice to Pilate. He also calls the kingdom of God the kingdom of heaven over 30 times in Matthew's account of the gospel. He often uses parables to illustrate the principles of the realm of God's reign. And that's what we're talking about. Now, Jesus was neither referring to a millennial reign upon this earth thousands of years after his listeners were all dead and buried. He was talking about seeking a kingdom that existed in their time. He told the people in Matthew 3, verse 2, that the kingdom is at hand. In Matthew 4, 17, it's near. And that didn't mean that it was yet to come. He wasn't talking about at hand in time or near in time. In Matthew 12, 28, he said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom has come upon you." And those who heard him say that, they knew he was casting out demons by the Spirit of God. So what did that mean? The kingdom of God had come upon them. Present reality for them. And when he was asked by the Pharisees in Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, now listen carefully, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Well, here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Other verses translate that last phrase, "The kingdom of God is among you," or even "within you." Whatever rendering you believe is most accurate, that there's reason to believe any one of them could be right, and all be saying the same thing. In essence, the kingdom was present already for them. It was a present reality. A present reality. So Jesus made these very clear statements that the kingdom was not something that was coming, but was available to them then. And they were to seek it and find it. And in so doing, find righteousness. So specifically then, well, what is the kingdom? Okay, it's present, but what is it? What is this kingdom they were to seek? You ready? The rule of God in their hearts, in their minds, and in their lives. Jesus urged them to seek God's will then and walk in it then. See, when, then, and there. Then and there. Well, what about us? What about us then? What are we to do with this? The very same thing. We need to seek the kingdom now. And the righteousness of God now. Not just seeking, looking for it to come someday, but to seek it in its present reality. Listen closely. We will not find calm in the midst of our chaos or peace in this pandemic until we seek and submit to the rule of the Prince of Peace in our lives. As the Apostle Paul later urges in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, listen closely. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of his holy body, you are called to peace. And then he adds this little tagline. And be thankful. And be thankful. There's a throne in our hearts. You know that? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Who is it that's reigning and ruling in your heart? Who is that? Who is Paul saying we need to let reign and rule in our hearts? Christ. And when we do, the peace of Christ comes. And be thankful. Well, thankful for what? We look around us and we think, what is there to be thankful for? We need to be thankful that our Heavenly Father cares more for us than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Isn't that what he said? He cares deeply for us. He loves us so much. He sent his one and only Son, That we can have this relationship with Him in the kingdom. Be thankful that, as Jesus said earlier in this very section and earlier in the sermon, our Father knows our every need. Even before we ask, even before we maybe realize it, He knows it. And the idea is He will supply those needs. Each and every one of them. What did He say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be given to you. Not that you're going to have to work, they'll be granted to you, right? They'll be given to you, all of them. Wow. Now you might be thinking, well, Pastor, that sounds well and good, but I've tried this before to no avail. It hasn't worked for me. Well, here's another thing that Jesus did not say. He did not say, try this first and see if it works. If it doesn't, just give up. Move on to something else. Try something else. Maybe you'll find what you're looking for there. No, he didn't say that, did he? I'm afraid that's what we often do, though. We may seek God's kingdom first. Too many, they don't seek it till dead last. But we may even seek it first. But we seek God's kingdom with whatever version of understanding or comprehension we may have about that kingdom. And sometimes we look for what's the easiest thing we can do to hopefully, well, get some benefits from the kingdom. No, Jesus is saying this. Do this consistently, and it will work, because your Father will be at work to supply your needs. I'm going to say that again. Are you ready? Do this consistently. Watch. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's the idea of not just do it once. Oh, I tried that. No. Seek it continually. Make that the priority in your life. Doing it consistently, and it will work, because your Father will be at work to supply your needs. That's what he's saying. The Greek verb tense here is present active. Literally, it's keeping on seeking God's kingdom. Not, well, I looked for it, I found it, okay. No, it's an idea. You keep seeking. And the idea is that you keep seeking for that to be the priority in your life. Well, how do we keep on this seeking mentality? How do we keep doing this? That we're not just, you know, looking one time and found it, okay, I found it, I'm done. No, that we're continuing to seek His kingdom, to seek that reign and rule in our lives on a daily basis. How can we do that? Well, let me offer some practical suggestions. I think it'd be a good idea to start every day with a prayer. Now, this idea of seeking first the kingdom of God isn't saying put God first on your schedule for the day and then go on your merry way. That's not the idea. But it only makes sense to communicate with God first thing in the morning. It really does. To pray something like this: Lord, thank you for the night of rest. And maybe you're thinking right there, well, wait a minute, again, I didn't have that good of a night. It wasn't that restful. You know, I had some aches and pains that kept me awake. There were some things in my mind that I was worried about that were troubling me. So I didn't have that good. Thank God for the rest that you got. Thank God for it, that you had the opportunity even to rest. Then thank Him for another day filled with opportunity. Not that idea, well, okay, another day, one more day. No, one more day that you've given me, Lord. Thank you. And help me to have my eyes and heart open to the opportunities. Let me see, Father, what you would have me to do. Let me see and understand and comprehend your will, and give me the resolve to do it. And once you're off to that good start, keep in touch with God throughout the day. Once again, continue to communicate with Him. And so many times we think we can't do that because we're thinking it's got to be a formal prayer that we have to be, you know, totally focused and on, you know, like start with Our Father who art in heaven and close with In Jesus' name. No, be in communication with Him. Be in prayer with Him. And again, whatever comes your way, whatever situations come your way, be asking him again, God, help me with this. Help me deal with this. Lord, help me to deal with this situation. Lord, thank you for this. Help me with this. Thank you for this. Thank you for helping me. You know, we talked about calling on him when we need help. We need his help a lot. Call out to him, yes. But be in communication with him throughout today. Here is another thing. Make it a priority to consult God's word every day. Every day? Yeah. Well, wait a minute. The church isn't offering a Bible class every day. There isn't, you know, a service for Sunday. The preacher's not giving us a lesson every day. Get into the word yourself. Every day. Every day. Open the book and take a look. Every day. Again, praying, God, give me wisdom, give me understanding, open my eyes and heart to your will in your word. Now, you may want to do that before breakfast or morning coffee. That may work real well for you. Maybe you're not a morning person at all. You know, you can get that prayer done, but you know, I'm not ready to, you know, dive into the word. Maybe that won't work for you. Maybe you better slot some time in at lunch or later in the evening. Now, I'm not real big on just, you know, the idea of, well, reading a devotional every day, though that's better than not taking in any of God's word. I don't want to discourage you from, if that works for you, if that helps you to, again, keep your bearings in the kingdom, then by all means do it. But we need to consult God's word continually. It's one thing to pray to him. We need to be listening for his direction. Maybe you'll want to follow David's example to read and meditate in the morning just before you go to sleep at night. I've talked to people before who said, well, I've tried that, but I keep falling asleep. That's a good way to fall asleep. Better than falling asleep watching television, maybe. And you know what? I found that when I do this, I not only rest better, I also wake more refreshed. So make it a priority every day to consult God's word. And make it your goal then, see, to live as an obedient subject in God's kingdom. Because in case you missed it, that's what this is all about. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what it's all about. It's about pursuing God's will with the determination to walk in it. Though the Bible is clear that none of us are righteous, not a one. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's also true when we become citizens of the kingdom of God, we are granted certain rights in this kingdom. In this kingdom, the right that we're so often, I think, overlooking or gets belittled is the right to righteousness. See, in the kingdom of God, there's righteousness. How is that possible? How is it granted to us? 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God made him, speaking of Jesus, who had no sin, to be a sin sacrifice for us so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. So if I'm seeking the kingdom and God's righteousness, then the place to seek God's righteousness is in Christ. That follow? The righteousness to be found in the kingdom is in Christ. Well, again, what are we talking about? Getting in Christ? We're talking about a relationship with him? Accepting him as our Savior and our Lord? We're talking about accepting him as the King to rule over our hearts, minds, and lives. We're talking about submitting again to him. And when we do that, we are granted righteousness. This may help. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. We'll be looking at another bit of this chapter in just a moment, but starting just here, the Apostle Paul's writing to believers, Christians, Christ followers, in Rome. He says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore united with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, if you didn't notice, into Christ, into his death, with him, in this relationship with him, this union with him, what are we promised? A new life. I know people who have said to me, you know, especially when their life is a mess, you know, when things have gone south, as we call it, things are sour, things are not going well, it's a shambles. They say, I just wish I had my old life back. You ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you said it. I just wish I had my old life back. Well, if that's what you want, I have some bad news for you. In Christ, you don't get your old life back. Here's the good news. You get a new life. Brand new life in Christ. That's good news. That's good news. When we unite ourselves with Christ in baptism, we are actually declaring our citizenship in God's kingdom. We're actually pledging to live as his subjects. To make that even more clear to us, Paul goes on in verse 11 of Romans 6. Listen to this. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12. Now listen to this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. Verse 14, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. That seems pretty clear. Instead of letting sin reign, we let Christ rule. Isn't that what we're called to do? In Christ. If Christ is in control, truly in control, if we're truly submitted to him, surrendering control to him as the king of our hearts, as the one to rule and to reign in our lives, we can take a deep breath and relax. Because if he's in control, I know I can't control things. I've tried, believe me. I know there's so many things I can't control. I thought I could, I can't. But if he's got the wheel, if he's controlling, if he's steering my life, I can take a breath and relax. How many of you have ever flown, on a plane? I'm not talking with your own, you try that, you won't get very far. Okay, just flap in your arms. But have you flown on a plane before? Yeah. How many of you, maybe you're one of the people that is so afraid of flying, you get on the plane, and you're afraid, oh man, I'm so afraid that this thing's going to fall. That I don't know the pilot. Oh, boy, I hope he's not had a snort before, or she. I'm not trying to be, but I don't know. And how about, I don't know the mechanics. I don't know if they check this plane very well. I don't know. Maybe you're one of the people that frets about those kind of things on the plane. But you know what? The majority of people don't. They realize, hey, somebody else is piloting this thing. And I'm trusting them. I don't even know them, but I'm trusting them. And I'm just, sitting back and going to relax. Just going to relax and trust that I'll get to my destination. Most people do that. Who's the pilot of your life? Who's the one that's got things worked out and is working things out for us to reach our destination? Who is it? If it's Jesus, we can kick back a bit more and relax. Hear me, dear ones. The King has already come. Oh, many looking for a return, a second return. But the King is here. The King has come. He has already dealt with sin once and for all. There's nothing more for him to do about that. It's been paid for. His death, his sacrifice took care of that. It's done. Right? It's done. Hallelujah. Do I need to worry about that? No. Not if I'm in Christ. If I'm in the kingdom, if I'm a subject of the kingdom, I don't need to worry about that. Don't need to worry about where I'm going to end up at the end of all things. No, he's taking care of that. He went to prepare a place for me in his Father's house. He said that wasn't true. I wouldn't be telling you that. John 14. Do I need to worry about that? No. If we're in Christ, if we're in the kingdom, if we're seeking him and his righteousness, then he's ruling. He's got control of that. It's taken care of. Aren't you glad you don't have to worry about those things? He's taken care of those really big things, hasn't he? And we worry about the little things, thinking he can't handle those. We need to rethink, don't we? He now sits at his Father's right hand and reigns from the throne. He rules in the hearts and minds of the subjects of his kingdom. He does. And as he rules there, he grants us peace and righteousness. Righteousness. Perhaps you remember my addendum to the phrase that we hear so much. It is what it is. It just is what it is. Again, I say, well, maybe it is what it is, but thanks be to God that he is who he is. He's sitting on the throne. He's ruling now. Those subjects who will seek his kingdom and find his righteousness in the kingdom. That's good news. Jesus is in essence saying that so much of the worries that we have in life will melt away if we just get this right. Right? They'll melt away. You worried today? You anxious? If you're worried or anxious about where you're going to spend eternity, if you're worried or anxious about the burden of sin that you carry and the guilt that goes with it, I have good news. Seek the kingdom and the righteousness found in Jesus, and that will be taken care of. You won't have to worry about it ever again. Ever. Good news. And if you're worried or anxious about anything else, I don't want to trivialize those things. Bring them to the throne. As I said in the pastoral prayer earlier, we have a God who can restore and replace and make new anything. Anything. There's not anything too big or too difficult for him to handle. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you in Jesus' name for this good news today, that the kingdom is available to us right now. And I'm afraid so many are waiting for Jesus to sort things out one day. When, if they just surrender their lives to him, a whole lot of things can be sorted out today. Today. Father, thank you for our King of Kings, our Prince of Peace. Father, may we submit more fully to his rule and reign in our hearts, minds, and lives. May we do that. Father, we thank you for your patience with us. I know too many of us at times try to, well, shoot Jesus off the throne, at least temporarily, so we can do the things we want and have the things we want right now the way we want them. And so many times they're not good for us at all. And if we just be patient and ask the one, seek the one who can give us our needs and supply them all and so much more. We'll find a lot more peaceful and worry-free life. Help us to do that. Father, thank you. We love you. Help us to love you even more. In Jesus' name, amen.